Get ready for your weekly dose of tips, tactics, and insights on how to turbocharge your marketing. You are listening to Smart Marketing with your host,
Justin Lister,
and
Yves Grobler.
Hey, smart marketers, welcome to today's podcast where Eben and I are going to be discussing how to collaborate with your agency to set an effective strategy. Eben, why don't you kick off by giving us a bit of context as to how we got here?
Thanks, Justin. Strategy for us today is leading on the expectation management focus that we had. And if we can just take it a step back, previous episode was how to get the best value from your agency partnership. But after that, we started looking into the trust cues, and expectation management was really discussed in understanding your agency's credentials and how we look at the various aspects that the agency puts forward. And now coming into today, we're saying, right, from that original objective of determining the value from your agency partnership, if we've got a clear expectation, then from there we can start focusing on working together. And that's where the collaboration and setting of objectives come in. And yeah, strategy is the vehicle that does that. And so we've looked at, I would say, about 10 ways in which a marketer and a agency can collaborate to find the best, well, preferential ways of achieving the right goals.
Yep, sounds good. Well, let's kick us off. So the first one is to, first and foremost, set clearer objectives. So let's look at things like your vision and your mission. And although this sounds, that can be considered a little bit, a bit more for internal purposes or maybe for clients, I think an agency could really take a lot of value from that. So an example would be, let's take Tesla as an example. We know that Tesla's objective is to accelerate, reduction of fossil fuels. And because of that, then, the agency themselves can ensure that the content is far more focused around that particular goal, can really incorporate that. And that mission can really, it can mean a lot to people. It can mean a lot to the clients. And I think that's going to ultimately give, the campaign that much more strength. And the other one,
before we go into that, what's important in terms of identifying the vision, we can often find that not all the decision makers from a client's perspective was part of that conversation. So, just do your agency and yourself the favor in terms of time management or saving yourself some time and some money. And just make sure that all the decisions have been part of that process and that you as a smart marketer have that sign off from your exco or all the stakeholders that's going to be involved in the project. And then, we like to speak of vision and mission in two different terms, being vision, the destination, and the mission being the journey. And I think what that allows us to do is to really kind of visualize what we're trying to achieve. And I would encourage you to try that visualization exercise by saying, right, this is the destination, this is what it looks like, and the journey being how we get there. And obviously the strategy becomes, let's call it the roadmap. But if you can't visualize the journey and the destination, it's going to be so much harder for your agency to do. So just use that as a mechanism, I would say, to determine how relatable, understandable, or executable the vision and the mission is for your agency.
Yeah, sure. And then I think that this one is surprisingly logical, but goals. What are the goals of the company? And that could be maybe there's a short-term goal within the next 6 months to increase total sales revenue or to increase reach. And, then the agency needs to ensure that the marketing activities should ultimately be, and the strategies need to be aligned to that goal. If that goal is more short-term focused, should you be running with a strategy that might take a long-term view? And I think that's going to be critical. Then the message itself can be very different. So look, a lot of that should have already been discussed. You should be going into the conversation and into the campaigns with that already in mind, because I like to believe that that is part of the consultation process. But look, I think with all of these points, although it's very much, this speaks to the client and their way to collaborate with the agency, you would hope and expect that the agency themselves should be asking these questions already as part of the consultation process as well as the onboarding. But just in case, you know, some agencies might not have that perfectly down to a T, and you know, it could be something where you could just prompt and provide collaboration and context around just to make their life that much easier. So the next one is to provide some more comprehensive background information. You know, if we use an example, something like company history. So if this is a company that, let's say it's a fashion brand, and that fashion brand happens to be a family business, and that family business happens to have started 100 years ago. Yeah, there's a few things that can be said from that, that you can imagine from a creative perspective, the types of stories, the type of creative that you could put in there. If you think of, you know, they could really leverage that story behind the heritage. And at the same time, if you take, let's take not a fashion brand, let's take something that's a bit more service orientated. What you can be sure of is there is experience there. Now, you can imagine that experience can also be utilized in the marketing creative, and trust. These are key themes that are going to shine through and can be leveraged off the back of that information. And that can ultimately lead to far better conversions for your campaign.
You know, coming from, let's say, a bit of a background on strategic brand, you know, the 5-6 years I spent in that space, I would say if you share that background, you're really, what you're doing is you're trying to take the agency along. And, you know, if it's not about just sharing the background, it's about speaking to why you love what you do or why you love working for the brand. And that is so critical for them to understand what makes you passionate about it. And obviously that gets them, just invested in what it is that drives you to get up every day, and the same way they get up every day to work on their brand. And just a little story I want to share here, just to give you an example. A few years ago, we found ourselves in a great opportunity to work with a multinational cement manufacturer. And so we went through quite an in-depth onboarding process of them explaining to us all the various facets of not just their company, but the types of cement and the mixes and how it all comes together. And, you know, they started showing us examples of, you know, incredible buildings that have been built with cement. And I found myself, you know, completely sincere and serious looking at what is a room of 6 client representatives. And I just said to them, guys, I never knew this, but cement is sexy. And that kind of set the tone for the relationship. But the reason why it was is because it just showed how incredible, capable it is and what you can do and how beautiful, you know, the outcomes are. But they took the time to really explain it, and it got me excited, and with that, the larger team excited about what we can do for the brand, and the creative that came from it, the brand work that came from it was really inspired from that session. And so take the time and get them excited about why you are excited.
Yeah, that's cement is sexy. Who would have thought? Not something you hear every day. And then the next one is to communicate brand values and identity. Now, Ibit, I know this is your area of expertise, but I'll just quickly throw one in. You know, we all know brands have a certain tone and a certain voice that they like to speak from. Some could be put more on the sarcastic side, other one take more humorous. Some people take a far more serious approach. And I think what we, you know, with that, and that's because it might be appealed to their type of customer and client. So they would have had that information already. And I think, again, if there's a misalignment between your brand voice and what the agency's putting out there, then that's ultimately going to negatively impact results.
Definitely. And so we spoke about this in the earlier episode, you know, your intent versus interest agency, and you would most likely have worked with an interest or / brand creative strategic agency, and you would have developed a great brand voice and all the, you know, the brand elements and collateral that come with that. But again, it's not just from my experience in the brand, in the creative environment, but even pulling it through and seeing what's happened in the performance marketing, is that there can quite easily creep in an inconsistency around what, how, where, and when the brand is represented. And not to go into the detail and how to analyze that, but a little mantra I developed for myself over the years was that consistency creates uniformity, which will establish continuity, and that builds trust. You know, so just a little equation. And yeah, just always ask yourself, is there trust in our brand, in the market? Is the agency who we're working with, to whom we are transferring our brand, do they find trust in it? And, you know, if they're saying no, it's probably because there's somewhere that there may have been an inconsistency, or obviously there's a misalignment and they're not seeing the same continuity coming through on the brand. And so, yeah, allow them the opportunity to really just provide you some feedback on that. Not to say that you need to take all of that on board or any of that on board and I'll go and overhaul your brand. But I think it's very important that you always allow yourself to get that fresh perspective, especially when you're engaging with a new marketing or brand service provider.
The next one is to provide previous campaign and offline metrics. So it's pretty common for, you know, when you're running campaigns, for that information to be transferred to the new agency. If the agency is replacing another agency, you know, they, let's hope, should have access to that data. But sometimes that data is internal, or they could have been previous platforms being used, in which case make sure that information is made available, because it could be a previous campaign that was run maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that had some, you know, substantial results. It could have been the time in which certain campaigns were run that seems to bear the best fruit. And, you know, we don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Yes, the agency will be coming up with different tactics, different approaches, different strategies. But I think it's also something to be said for, you've invested a lot of money up to this point to gather insights, gather data. Let's leverage that and see how we can double down. And you know, sometimes it's not just about doing new things all the time. Sometimes it's about taking what's already there and making slight variations on that, or tweaking that, or better yet, you might be running multiple campaigns of which one of them was highly successful. The fours completely tanked. And as a result, you looked at it across the board and thought to yourself, no, this just isn't working. Meanwhile, there could have been diamonds in the rough there. And, you know, a good agency will be able to take that information and really identify those diamonds and double down on them and say, well, you know what, we really found that this one was delivering immense value, and therefore we're going to throw extra budget into it.
You know, sharing data and insights, to all the points you've just made, it definitely is in your business best interest to be transparent. But there's actually an opportunity to create a very important human connection as well with your service provider. And that is that if you're transparent and truly vulnerable with your data, especially if you're looking to partner with a new agency or new service provider because, you know, for whatever reason, there wasn't the results or the success with another one, or you've been doing it independently or doing it in-house, whatever the reason may have been that there wasn't a success, it's so often that we can, you know, we don't necessarily want to recognize that there may have been shortcomings, or that, you know, we may have been part of the reason for the lack of performance, to put it bluntly. But the fact that you are already brave enough to reach out and humble enough to understand that there is somebody who might be able to provide you with a level of expertise, that in itself means that you recognize that they can work with you to make you better, right? So, and if you're prepared to really let them, yeah, look into that data and share with them your experiences through the process of collecting that data, you know, what happened in the business? Where were you at? How did you manage your campaigns or the teams, or, you know, just every factor or facet around that, you know, work or that data set? That will also give them a better understanding of who you as a person is, you know, who you are as a marketer are, and how you want to, you know, how you operate and how you work. And in that in itself, just by your own behavior, they can sometimes, you know, find some interesting insights that adds to, you know, just improving the next round of work.
Right. The next one we've spoken about in the past, just in terms of, you know, collaborating with agencies and in general, but, you know, it's about encouraging open dialogue, you know, realizing that sometimes these strategies need to be formed in multiple ways, not just, you know, through the feedback of the agency and the ideas of the agency, but the ideas of the client as well. So, you know, encourage opportunities to brainstorm and discuss certain angles that are being taken. It does not mean that I think it's important to note that it doesn't mean that the client should be dictating the strategy. And at the same time, it doesn't mean that the agency should be dictating in its entire right as well, without at least the opportunity for the client to have voiced their ideas. And I think the important thing there is it's the collaboration. And I think if you feel that the agency is if you can create a dynamic where you're able to voice those ideas without it being seen as you having to follow my instruction, I think that could be intensely valuable.
I guess in the same sentiment is that, you know, where it's less of a case of being, you know, the marketer dictating to the agency or vice versa. But I think there's often a missed opportunity where, because the marketer doesn't create or encourages open dialogue and therefore creates a safe environment to receive, you know, feedback or honest, you know, insights, what you see is that the agencies actually become very reserved in the information they want to share. And so, you know, that's obvious that they become reserved. But the point I'm getting to is that if they can believe that the facts or data that they present you won't offend you on a personal level, because let's face it, right? Often, you know, be it smart marketers or business owners, what you're working on is personal to you, you know? And sometimes it's very hard to, receive information which undermines or, you know, fundamentally challenges some of the certainties or convictions that you've had in the work that you're doing. But again, you're reaching out to individuals to do that. And if you give them a very clear sense that you would prefer their honesty and informed, you know, feedback, you're doing yourself a massive favor to get that, especially if they're not operating from a place of worried that they might offend. And which means that they're just going to be encouraged to find work towards finding solutions because it gives them the opportunity to establish what the work is that needs to be done.
Hmm. And this is very closely aligned to the next one, which is being open to expertise. There's an incredibly great story that I only found about recently, which was that Netflix, with the combination of their own search data and the external search data via an agency, was actually able to come up with House of Cards, the American series. And they used that by looking at things like, you know, which shows were being watched, which actors were popular, viewing durations, user ratings, and then looking at who the most popular actors were at the time, what were their users interested in from a genre perspective. And quite literally, they used that data to ultimately determine what their next movie was going to be. So it wasn't actually just, which I thought was quite exceptional, because you think of movies being more creative, and House of Cards, which was hugely popular, actually was born out of marketing research and data, which I think is fantastic.
With that, you know, maybe leaning into the whole AI space, so obviously, and the technology as that's developing and the opportunity that that presents for your service provider to be bringing even more expertise to it, there still is the fundamental human, you know, element, which is that a group of people together, and we've spoken about this in the past, is a group of people together are more than, you know, one head.
Yeah. Something like that.
And so there's like, bottom line, there's wisdom of the crowd. So just always remember that one big benefit of working with an external partner is that there is a collective of people that are investing an immense amount of time and resources into improving their general set of knowledge, which by the sheer collective of it will most likely outweigh what one individual was able to amass.
Sure. And then I think the next one is really just setting clear expectations. So, you know, what are we, the scope of work, if it's building a website, what is everything what's the output going to look like? What does the end result look like? What do we see and what do we value? And are we aligning to that value? Are we on the same page? And are those expectations reasonable? And I think by doing that up front, that gives you an opportunity to also spar and have those discussions. Again, a lot of that should be done at the beginning stages when you're in the consultative process, but you may be moving in. It could also be on a campaign level. So there might be a new campaign that's run 6 months in for a particular product. You know, there'll be new expectations that need to be set around that. Or there's a strategic change in the business. New expectations need to be set around that. You know, we always find that we talk about expectations very often. So I think it's going to be critical.
Yeah. It's why it comes up often in our conversation is because there's also, you know, the other side to it, which is where a marketing service provider is also taking a risk in that engagement. You know, time or focus that's been allocated to one client is also a measured, you know, investment for the business. You know, is this the right type of client to be working with? Is this the right type of client to be investing our resources instead of, you know, the lost opportunity or the opportunity cost that comes with working with them? So, you know, setting clear expectations is to both parties, you know, benefit. And yeah, I think it's important to remember that it's not only one business that's in the conversation. Because you can often find that the marketer or the business owner goes to the marketing service provider with they're just a service provider and forget that, you know, there are decisions that they're making for the best interest of their business as well. So yeah, I think it's important that the expectations are clear so that they can accurately and fairly assess whether they are the right partner for you.
That's true. I think it's safe to say if a client is looking for unreasonable expectations, it's a recipe for disaster, in which case the agency, you know, themselves might just opt out. Right? So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and I think we could unpack that one in its entirety, but I do think there's that people do get confused between business to business and business to consumer. You know, in the consumer space, you service everyone. In business, it's the fit is critical. You should not be everything to everyone in the business space. Otherwise, it's going to be bad for both parties. The next one is fostering a collaborative atmosphere. So I think the one that jumps to mind is trust. And again, during my research, I didn't know this, but I thought it was incredibly interesting that Nike actually came up with the Just Do It slogan and logo because they put in the trust to their agency to come up with bold campaigns that they could really put their own spin on, and you know, it just shows that that wasn't something that was internal, that was something that was external. But without the trust that Nike gave them, they never would have been able to allow them to run that campaign, come up with that idea. And well, I think we all know how Just Do It has left an imprint on our society now. So it just shows the type of results that trust can bring about.
Yeah, I think the barrier that can often stand in the way of that is, you know, the marketer may want to be the one that takes the credit for the work, you know, and the agency is just a third party, you know, vendor that needs to do what they do. And it's, you know, a marketer may take the approach of thinking, well, you know, it's my expertise that's identifying this agency. And so therefore all the output that they're bringing to the table, that is due to my brilliance, you know, not something I have encountered often, or I would even say, you know, many times. But I think what's important here, I mean, that was an extreme example, but I think what's important here is just to remember that you have a group of people that once they start working with you, you know, they're also getting emotionally invested and excited about the output and really want to be part of your, part of your solution. And so, you know, if they're operating from a place that they are your team, you know, that just is so encouraging. And we see it time and time again where our clients celebrate our people. That is definitely a big encouragement.
Sure. And then I think another, you know, just one more part of that is not just trust, but having flexibility. So again, another great example of that was, you know, there was Oreos came up with a Super Bowl blackout ad saying something along the lines of "you can still dunk in the dark." And I think what it did is it sort of showed the brand's adaptability to real-time events, because there wasn't a lot of time to get that into place. You know, it was literally, we're talking minutes, there was a blackout and we had to put something together. And I think although we know that that's obviously quite a grand example, but there are many instances where if we're just a little more agile, we can jump off the back of something that is trending, that's happening, that could really grab the attention of, you know, your clients, your customers in a very, very compelling way, and could, you know, really lead to some substantial results. So being available, being flexible to, you know, maybe go slightly off the initial roadmap with the view that, you know, let's be a little adventurous and try a few new things.
I think that's a nice segue into the next point, which is to evaluate and iterate. If that trust is there and you allow, you know, the opportunity to take risks, you know, whether it's interest or performance marketing, there is enough technology available to be, you know, measuring and assessing, you know, the success of the work in a real time, near real time manner. at least in interest space. And there's always the opportunity to, you know, correct. You know, instead of thinking of failing, you know, fall fast and get up and move on, you know. And so I think it's important to understand that even when things don't pan out, you know, for the marketing service provider, it's as important for them to succeed, you know. So it will always be in their best interest to ensure that they enable you with the opportunity to evaluate and then iterate the success that's been seen in the work that's been provided.
Sure. I mean, you'll notice, and there's last one, but I think, you know, the one key theme that shines through here is collaboration. You know, it really is a collaborative effort. So, and the last thing that should be collaborated is by celebrating your wins together, because the strategy is not the net effect of the strategy is not the marketer, it's not the agency, it's not the business owner, it's everyone. And, you know, and I really think that isn't celebrated enough. And I think the agencies can learn a lot as well from also, you know, saying thank you to their clients for their collaboration and their input. You know, this isn't a solo effort here. So really, you know, give yourself this kudos. And I think if we look at all those 10 items, I don't know if there's anything lastly you want to add on that front.
Just that we've seen that some of the greatest results that we've had over the last, I would say, especially the last 2 years, has come from a place where there is a continuous recognition, not always maybe a celebration, but at least just a recognition, be it from the client to the team or the team to the client, because most of the time there are tough conversations because there's problem solving, you know, trying to figure out what do we do next to take the business and the client's business to the next level. And so when the successes are there, whether it is from the client's part or from our, you know, the service provider or our part for that matter, you know, there is always a reciprocal celebration or recognition. But one thing that is very evident is that when there is a transactional relationship, in other words, you're a service provider and you're being paid to perform a specific function, and there is a, let's call it a barrier that's set up by the marketer or the business owner to say that, you know, you just need to operate within the parameters that we've provided you with, that transactional relationship cuts away at the passion and the drive of the people working on your challenges. You know, for many marketers, as well as for individuals within agencies, they are there because they find a purpose in the work that they're doing. And so to not include them in the celebration is to actually cut away a little bit at that purpose that drives them.
No, that's a great point. And I think, I genuinely believe if we focus on those 10 things, both agencies and clients, I think you're going to have a fantastic collaboration. You're going to have a really great strategy you guys can constantly work on, and there really will be fantastic results later on down the line. So everyone, thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it. You know, feel free to give us a like and a subscribe and all those good stuff on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, and we look forward to bringing you some more content next month. All the best.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Smart Marketing. Be sure to review, rate, and subscribe to keep up to date with the latest marketing tips, insights, and tactics to help make your marketing a success.